And she looked at me, she said, Pastor Wayne Cordero, I go to your church. I said, oh, yeah, you asked me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's like all of a sudden I remembered who I'm supposed to be. And it straightened me up. It's funny when you forget who you are, you kind of go to the old way, you know, like what?
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, the conclusion of a message on the life of Nicodemus, that secret agent disciple who followed Jesus under the cover of darkness. If you struggle sharing your faith openly with others, I think today's message will be an encouragement to you. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Nicodemus Going Public.
How often things happen to you and God just whispers to your heart, that's me, or I'm drawing you to myself. You just know. You know that you know that you know that this is God's hand at work. That's the Holy Spirit helping you to just not know about God, but to change your knowledge into faith so that you can believe. Because the Bible says, through grace have you been saved through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So what turns knowledge into the ability to believe? It's turning knowledge into faith by believing in Christ, putting your hope on Him, and that's going to be helped by the Holy Spirit. In fact, the name Holy Spirit in the Greek is the Greek word parakletos, or para, where it comes from parakaleo. Para means alongside, and kaleo or kalo, like even in the Hawaiian, is to be called. So the paraclete that we call the Holy Spirit, the paraclete is the one who is called alongside you to help you to see who Jesus is, so that He will be revealed to you, so that you will be a fully convinced follower of Jesus Christ, representing Him in public. And He's the helper. And let's read the scripture that I put there so that we can see it. The Spirit of God under that one. Ready? Go. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, He will bear witness of me. You see, God gives history, not only in that which is seen, but that has gone before us, the Bible and the Spirit of God to help us to know about Him. But that's not good enough, He said to Nicodemus. Yes, you know about me, and that's good. But still, Nicodemus, the greatest distance between two points in the universe is a distance between your head and your heart. That 1 foot, about the biggest foot in the world. Because we've got to go from knowing about God to dropping it into our heart so that we will, number two, believe in God. You've got to go from knowledge about God to believing. And that's the longest 12 inches in the world, from your head to your heart. I think it's about 12 inches about here. That's why you cannot go high nose, because it can come more far, more hard. So just stay regular like that. And so the biggest... There's a kid in the third grade. He comes home and he says to his mother, hey, Ma, we had this contest in the third grade and I won the contest for the biggest feet in the whole class. The mother said, oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I even got one prize. That's good. Ma, you think that's because I'm Portuguese? She said, no, honey, that's because you're 18 years old. But the biggest foot in Christianity is between the head and the heart. Because we've got to go from mentally assenting to, yeah, that's Jesus, I know about Him, to believing in Him. That's so important. Those 12 inches. I've got to be able to believe. And that means really putting your weight on. So when it says, if you believe in Him, you'll have eternal life. That means you got to go beyond knowing about God to taking your life and entrusting it to Him. That's when your knowledge turns to faith. And then you enter the kingdom of God. That's the entry. There was that great tightrope walker, Blondin, at the turn of the century, of last century, stretched a cable across the Niagara Falls, above the Niagara Falls, walked across it and walked back. When he came back, 10,000 people had gathered. Blondin, they were chanting, Blondin, Blondin. He took a bunch of sandbags, put it in a wheelbarrow, walked across to the Canadian border, walked back. Man, they were yelling, Blondin, Blondin. He said, how many of you believe I can do that again? We believe. They said, we believe. How many of you believe I can take this wheelbarrow, put sand back in and go across? We believe, we believe. And he said, well, which one of you will be the first to get in this wheelbarrow? I don't think we believe that much. You see, belief is, I get in the wheelbarrow. That's trusting in completely, depending on. Otherwise, you can know about a medication from a suffering that you've got, an illness that you have, that you're going to die if you don't take this medication. You can know about the medication. You can memorize the contents, the chemistry content. You can sing songs about the contents. You can write poems about the content. But you're still going to die unless you ingest it and give your life to it. That's where the belief comes in. And that's what he's talking about to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you completely entrust your life, your identity, your future, your safety, your past to Jesus Christ. You've got to be willing, as it were, to die to the old and become a new person, completely entrusting to him. Listen again to what he said. Truly, truly, I say to you, Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, born again? Is that what it means to completely trust? What do you mean born again? He said, I'm old. I can't enter a second time into my mother's womb and I'd be born, can I? Jesus said, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, physical and spiritual, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Let me put it another way. Wait a minute. What's this born again thing? Well, let's say that the immigration laws completely changed overnight. And the only way that you can be a citizen of America is you have to have been born here. Well, for some people, it's okay, but there's a whole bunch of people who would say, hey, wait a minute, I was born in Japan or the Philippines or China or wherever, and I want to be a citizen here. I'm sorry, if you weren't born here, you are no longer a citizen. Well, wait a minute, what do you mean? Sorry, you got to be born here. But I'm already born, I'm old, I can't enter in again to a womb and then be born again. Yeah, that's the only way you can be a citizen. You got to be born again. Is that the only way? That is the only way. Well, there is the way that has been provided for you. Well, what's that? The one who owns the universe has made a way. Yeah, because to be born again is absolutely impossible. I mean, already I'm born. I cannot be born again into this kingdom. I cannot just start all over again. Yeah, with man, it's impossible. Well, but God, it's not. God, where does God come in? Well, here's what God did. He provided a way. Because you see, to be born again, you actually have to die and be born again or come alive again in this kingdom, in this nation called the kingdom of God. You actually have to die and then be coming back to life. So God died and came back to life. And so there's only one entry if you want to come into this kingdom. It's going to be, if you've not been born here in the kingdom of heaven, which none of us have, this is what you'll have to do. You'll have to, there's only one way. You'll have to entrust your life to He who died and was resurrected or came back to life on our behalf. But you'll have to give over your life in exchange. I mean, you have to basically entrust your whole identity and whole life, and it completely becomes His life because He's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that has God's ability to do this. That's it. So if you're going to be in Him, born again, then it's no longer you who live, but His life. You see, you have to die to be born again. So your death means you no longer live, but He lives in you. So when you are born again, it is now His mind, His life. You'll be born of God. So it's His way of thinking, no longer your way of thinking. It's His heart, not your heart. His love, not your love. His perspective, not your perspective. Well, if all of us do that and we become born again through Christ Jesus who died for us, then we're born again, then we'll have His heart, His life, His mind. Yeah, that'll be the real you. In fact, if any man or woman is in Christ, he is a new creation. The real you is brand new. Old things have passed away. The new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Oh, by the way, Galatians 2:20 says, "For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life I now live, being born again, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me." Then I begin to understand, being born again means it's no longer Wayne. Yes, Wayne died when he was 19 years old. And he is now born again. It's not my heart, it's Jesus' heart. It's not my mind, it's the Lord's mind. It's not my perspective, it's His. And I've got to get rid of the old, which always wants to come back and latch on. And I've got to keep dying to the old, because the only way I can enter the kingdom is being born again. And if I allow that old to come like an old coat, then I become a secret disciple and I have not really entrusted my life to Him. Oh, even as the song said, when will that mirror reveal who I really am? Because often we as Christians have that old person still inside. And we say, it's so hard to shed this, live like a Christian. Just shed the old coat, because the real you is the new you. If you have come to know Christ, the real heart is Christ's heart. Try living with the old way. Try doing it the old way. And when you get up in the morning, you feel horrible. You feel like rubbish. But when you live the way Jesus has given you a heart to live, thinking with His mind, His perspective, using His hands and His ways, with confidence surges into your life. There's a whole new perspective. There's a confidence. There's a buoyancy about your life. There's a radiance. In fact, the Lord says when that happens, you're like the lights of the world. Let your light so shine before men so they'll see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And His life is beginning to live through you. Oh, Wayne, well then if all of us become born again with His heart and His life and His perspective, we'll all start to look more and more like the one who birthed us, Jesus. Why, we will be born of God and we'll be looking more and more like Him. That's right. That's what it means to be born again. Yes, but it's not a sham or a put on or a disciplined life. It is the real you. So being born again is being free to be who God made us to be. Yes, it's not a put on. It is a take off of the old. So that who we really are people who look like Jesus. So then if all of us start to look like more and more like the Lord and think more like Him, act more like Him, then that's the real us because we've been born again. Well, then when the world looks at us, they'll start to see an ever-increasing and accurate picture of Jesus in this world through the church. Exactly. That's what it means to be born again. Because for some people, the only Bible they'll ever read is you. And the only Jesus they'll ever see is you. So be who you are. Be who you really are. Because then, when you do, when you not know about God, but then you believe or give your life to Him so that you die and say, "Lord, I'm ready to shed the old. Give me a new heart, new life, a new creation." Then the Lord says, "Good. Because now, when you're entered in the kingdom of God, I want you to, number three, go public. go public, not with just this Christian sham. No, it's not people who are just trying to act Christian, smell Christian, and look Christian. No, it's people who are, in their very being, transformed. That's who we are. May my reflection reflect who I really am. See, the devil's going to try to get you to think that if you're going to be Christian, you got to put on this front. No, you don't put on a front. You take off the front, and you become who you are. There is no greater peace and no greater life of joy than when you live the way that God's created you to live. And will we always do it perfectly? No, I struggle with that sometimes because the old life wants to come on and grab a hold of me like a barnacle, like an opihi, you know, I got to take that thing back off because always that thing is always nagging at me and I'm trying to take off that coat and say, no, I want to be a person that God knows and recognizes, someone who lives with his heart and his life. I've got to work at that. Lord, help me just to free myself to be who you created me to be as being a person that's born again. Because that's the real me now, not the old me. That's not the real me. The new me is me. I died when I was 19 years old, and I'm brand new. Lord, help me to live as who I am. Then I can relax, be who I am. And when that old guy starts coming, I want to shed that coat back off because I got to take this off and be who you created me to be. I need to be able to go public and be honest about my life. But we always have that old man coming on. I was, after church, I was zipping home one day, and this was in Hilo, and I was hungry, so I was kind of stepping on it, you know, because I wanted some lunch, and had to get there before my kids wolfed everything down. So I'm zipping home, and this guy pulls me over on the highway. And I see the lights in the rear view mirror. I think, oh, no, what? I'm hungry. And I pull over. And this policeman starts walking up to my car. And I look, and my Bible's next to me. Oh, no. So I throw a magazine over it, you know. And I rolled the window down. Yes, sir. Do you know you were going a little over the speed limit? No, not really. Yes, I got you. How fast? 78. 78, come on. Maybe like 68 or something, but not 78. I got you on my radar. Well, you better recalibrate your radar then. No, I think it's right. Could I have your driver's license, please? Oh, here. And I handed it like that, here. So he looked at it, I said, okay, Wayne Cordero. He said, and your occupation, please? That always gets me. I stopped and I said, oh, I'm nabbed. That's it, you know. I said, Pastor. He said, what? You make pasta? I said, no. I said, I'm a pastor. And he passed. You're Pastor Wayne Cordero. He said, I was just listening to you on the radio just a little while ago.
You don't want to listen to me. I'm bad.
We mess up, don't we? And but when we do, we just hate it because that's not the real us. When we mess up and they say, oh, yeah, you're the guy to mess up. Oh, yeah, that's me. I love messing up. That's right. When you're not looking, I'm going to speed again. Yeah. No, you can't do that. That's not us. You see, the real us comes out, and sometimes we feel badly about it, but it's not that it's wrong. It's right. We just have to keep shedding and have authentic hearts that say, I'm sorry, I blew it. The real me is, I really want to be someone that represents the Lord. Would you please forgive me? And it's just, we've got to be able to stay who we are and not compromise who you are. Devil wants you to put on the mask, become a secret disciple, whip that off. Because God says it's time to go public. And it's good. It's good because it holds us accountable. When you are who you are, then you stay accountable. And you've heard this story, some of you. I was, after one of these services here, I was heading home, and because a friend of mine was at the Pink Hotel, a Royal Hawaiian Hotel, and they were waiting for me. They wanted to have lunch. And they said, just go home, put on shorts, and we'll eat out on the beach. I said, oh, cool. So I zip home. Now, I had had a full week that week. I was really tired, burnt out. So I went home, put on the most holo kind of shorts I could, and this book a t-shirt and rubber slippers, and I said, I feel better now. So I went to the hotel, and I called up their room, and they weren't in their room. And so I thought, oh, I'll just wait for a while. I was so tired. I was kind of walking around, you know. And down by the lanai looking over the beach, there's a nice couch. So I laid on the couch like this, leaned back, said, "Oh, this is nice, but nice." And my eyes are kind of going like this. And I thought, nobody's using the couch. I'm going to lay down for a while and sleep. I was so tired. As soon as I hit that couch, boom, I was conked out. I must have been snoring and drooling because just in a little while, you know, this security guard comes with this long black flashlight. Have you seen them carrying these things? And he's poking me on the side. And you know how you get up, you don't know where you are because someone startled you. And he said, "Hey, you cannot sleep here." I said, "Where? Where's here?" He said, "Right here." I said, "Oh, sorry." And I couldn't figure out what was going on because he just woke me up. And he said, "You need to leave this hotel." I said, "Oh, okay." And then I started to come to my senses, you know, like, what? Oh, now I understand what's going on, where I am, what happened. And he said this. He says, "We don't allow your kind to be sleeping in here." I started to get real defensive. "Your kind? What do you think, your kind?" And he says, "Come on, come on, out, 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 out." I thought, this guy thinks I'm a street person, you know? He's pushing me out. And I thought, who do you think you are? I pay taxes just like you. And I'm walking out, and he's pushing me out the hallway, you know, going out. And so I'm thinking, somebody must have turned him on to me, you know, and said, "Hey, there's a street person sleeping down there." And so I'm look, everybody, you know, I look at this girl behind the counter. "Oh, it's you. Was you?" I was looking, everybody in pink, as I was accusing, "You, was you?" You know, and I was just really steamed. And I was just saying, "I'm coming back to this hotel. I'll tell everybody what a junk hotel this is, junk hotel." And just then a girl behind the counter looked at me like this, and I looked at her like, "What? What?" And she looked at me and she said, "Pastor Wayne Cordero! I go to your church." I said, "Oh, yeah, you asked me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord." It's like all of a sudden I remembered who I'm supposed to be, and it straightened me up. It's funny when you forget who you are, you kind of go to the old way, you know, like, "What? What?" You know? And the Lord is saying, "That's not you. That guy died." "Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, sorry." The Lord is saying, "Would you reveal who you are and stay true to who you are? Because you're a new person in Christ." It was so neat. She said, "Come over here, have a seat. What are you doing here?" So I'm waiting for some friends. Oh, she said, "You want something to drink?" She brought me something cool to drink. She said, "A security guard." "Oh, I know him. I'll take care of him." I said, "Yeah, flake off." Flake off. I wanted to. But, you know, I thought the Lord said, "Wayne, who are you really? You're not a street person. You're not an old fleshly person," because those things, and when you feel defensive, you go back to your old ways. But is that really you? It's time to go public with who you really are, because you're born again. You have my heart. You have my mind. You have my compassion, my patience. I'll take care of you. Just stay with who you are and you'll live a consistent life. There's no greater way to live than to go public with who you are, truly who you are. When you're born again in Christ, then you walk that way. I tell you, the confidence that floods your life and the blessings of God that start to converge on your life, because God sees you and that you're living the person who He created you to be. You're a new creation in Christ. There's no better way to live.
I come to glorify you. My own.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Nicodemus Going Public by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. This message was taken from a series entitled Indispensable Life Lessons, where Pastor Wayne draws 21st century truths from guys who walked and talked with Jesus Christ. You can order that series on our website at www.enewhope.org. Just click on the Resources tab and look for the series called Indispensable Life Lessons. While you're on the website, you'll find other helpful resources for Pastor Wayne, his books, videos, and of course the Life Journal that we at New Hope follow. That web address again, www.enewhope.org. Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.
I come to glorify you. Identify with you. Speak your name as my own. I come to crown you King. Your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify your name. I come to crown you King. Your praises I'll sing. I choose